In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the Pharisee. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Well, Jesus certainly tells very vivid stories, parables, doesn't he? And each time he does, it's to encourage us to a right relationship with God and with him. And also that impacts how we relate to others. Sandy, could you turn down the volume a bit? Usually we ask to turn it up. Is that all right? Everyone can hear me? Good. Well, this morning we're going to finish our mini-series looking at parables only found in Luke's Gospel. And I hope you've been challenged and encouraged by them. I would actually love to know what you've thought over morning tea and what stood out for you. And these two parables are ones in which Jesus teaches us to pray, or he speaks about prayer. And so I'd like to ask you, what do you think helps a person to pray? What kind of things help somebody to pray?
Surroundings,
yeah.
Distress,
yeah. Time of crises, yeah. Illness in the family, yeah. Yeah. Joining with others, that helps people to pray, yeah. Yeah.
Joy,
yeah. Keep that question in mind as we hear what Jesus says to encourage us to encourage us to pray and also how to pray. One of the things that he does is that he reminds us about who God is. Often we might think, what can I do to pray? Or what new routine do I need? Or what new discipline do I have to start? Or what prayers, what do I actually need to pray? What words do I need to say? Jesus would remind us of God and the one we pray to. And so he presents these two parables to us. One is about a widow and a judge, and the other about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And if we listen to the Lord Jesus, he'll both encourage us to pray and to pray with the right kind of heart. Now, I think we know a lot about these things already. We know that it's good to pray, and we know that we have to have the right kind of heart when we do pray to God. But there is a difference between knowing about prayer and actually praying. So In a way, God's word, this sermon won't have worked if you go away knowing about prayer, but not encouraged to actually go and pray. It's one thing to know God, it's another thing to talk to him. So I hope that this sermon does that for you. And Jesus would have known this of his disciples. He could teach them a lot about prayer, but if they weren't actually praying, as they knew they should have been as Jews, then what use is it knowing about God when you're not talking to him? And so he motivates us by getting the disciples to think about God's character and what he is like and how they are able to speak to him in a plain manner, straightforwardly all the time. Well, we have the widow and the unjust judge. And the first thing we read is in verse 1. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. So Jesus, God in the flesh, is teaching his disciples about constant prayer, an ongoing conversation with God. It shows us that God desires us to talk to him. He wants a relationship. He wants a conversation with us. There are many religions or belief systems in the world where people have to do things to get to God, or they have to accomplish certain feats in order to get what they want from the God they believe in. Or they have to kind of guess at what their God is like, hoping that he's there, hoping that he's somewhere in the dark as they scramble for him. Jesus just says, talk to God, because God is being God, listens and he hears. He is sovereign. He is everywhere. He knows what you desire even before you pray. There is such joy, I mean, and privilege in being able to talk to God, knowing he is our Father. And Jesus doesn't want us to lose heart in light of living life and the circumstances we face. So the first truth we see about God is that God desires a relationship with us. He wants us for himself, for us to be his son or daughter, for him to be our father. And then the parable shows us a few other things about God. That God is good, that's the second one, that God is just, and that God cares for his people. And so we have a parable of a widow and a judge. As a widow, she would have been helpless and utterly dependent upon family, sons or daughters, and the community for help. Her husband was dead, and because he was dead, she had no immediate means of support. She is poor, she is helpless, but she has a just cause. An injustice has been done against her, and so she pleads for justice from a judge who could not care less. He really does not care for this widow whatsoever. He neither fears God nor loves nor respects the people around him. But the widow persists. And I don't know why, but I imagine a widow just constantly knocking at the door of the judge saying, give me justice. Yes, what is it? Give me justice. Yes, what is it? Give me justice. And so on and so on. I don't know why, but I imagine Betty McNeil persistently going to a judge saying, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice, just again and again. You know how children pull on their parents, sort of, can I have a biscuit, can I have a biscuit, can I have a biscuit? Well, this is an old, helpless widow persisting, nagging, just again and again, for something good, for justice, from a judge who is not just, who does not care. And there's something, this is very vivid, though it doesn't come out in English, but when the judge says, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. The word that's used for wearing out is literally black eye. The judge is saying her persistence is such that she's just going to beat me black and blue. She's going to give me a black eye with all of her prodding and persisting and nagging for justice. He doesn't care about giving her justice, he cares only about himself. And he doesn't want her to just beat him up and beat him down. You can imagine the headlines, couldn't you? Old lady nags judge to death. Or old lady nags judge until she gets justice. The language is boxing language. It's like a boxing ring. This old lady just keeps hitting him with the handbag till he gives in. And Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says. Listen to how reluctant he is and how begrudging he is to give her justice, which is good. And listen to how he cares only for himself, not actually for her. And then he says, so will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will God delay in helping them? No, of course he won't. He will act quickly, grant them justice. He will hear their plea. So if even a judge who does not care for God nor for man can be forced to act by the incessant appeals of a woman, of a widow, how much more will God, who is good and just, act to uphold his people when they cry out to him? God is good, God is just, and God cares for his people. He hears their plea. But it's difficult for us because often we want him to act quickly and straight away. Jesus says that God will act quickly, but when we consider who God is and how he is sovereign over all time, his swiftness may not be the immediacy that we look for. And yet, Jesus says he will act swiftly. There will come a time when God will act and bring justice to those who have suffered injustice. And so we have an invitation to trust him until all things are brought to a close and he finally judges all evil. And in the coming weeks, we'll be looking at Nahum and Habakkuk, two books in which these prophets come to God and say, why is there so much evil around me? Why is there so much suffering? Lord, have you forgotten your promises? And God says, do not worry, I am already doing something, I will act, I will bring all evil to an end. And here we have an invitation from Jesus to trust him until he returns. Well, knowing such truth, they must just humble us when we come to God. He is good, he is just, he cares for us. Will we come to him? And so Jesus motivates us to pray persistently and then to pray with the right kind of heart. In verse 9, we read, Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Now, what could this look like today? Two people go to church to pray, a church leader and a tax collector. The church leader stands at the front and says, God, I thank you, I'm not like other people, not like these rogues and thieves and adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of my income, I come to church every week, sometimes more. I pray, and of course you hear my wonderful prayers. You can just hear how it's dripping with pride and arrogance. And is a church leader or is a Pharisee actually praying? They're certainly not praying to God. It's really like he's holding up a mirror saying, oh, I'm just amazing, aren't I? I'm just wonderful. Do you know the story of Narcissus? It's a Greek mythology. Narcissus one day sees his reflection in a pond. And he's so captivated by his own reflection that he cannot move away from it. He stops eating, he stops drinking, and it kills him. This Pharisee in the story is so captivated by himself, it's going to be the end of him. Jesus says elsewhere in Matthew's Gospel that when you pray, pray to your Heavenly Father in secret, For what you do in secret, your Father knows. But the Pharisees are those who pray on street corners for themselves. They have received their reward already. They've received people's praise and adulation. And so there is a Pharisee who prays, and there is a tax collector who is very different. His posture tells us he's unworthy or under great conviction of sin. He demonstrates his conviction of sin by beating his breast. He's sorrowful for what he has done, and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And in a way, Jesus is asking his audience to ask this question: who will God listen to? So the person who seems to be praying to God but actually is praying to themselves, or to the tax collector who knows that before God they are nothing, who knows that he has sinned, who knows that he can only fall on God's mercy because that is all he dares ask for. Now some in the crowd might think, or some of the disciples might think, but wait, the Pharisee's doing all the right things. He's very religious. I mean, he fasts twice a week. He doesn't steal like a thief. He doesn't rob like a robber. He doesn't go against the grain like a rebel. He doesn't commit adultery. He fasts. He gives to the poor. He prays. Isn't he doing all the right things for God? As opposed to this irreligious tax collector who works for the enemies and steals money from us. There's an injustice in a way that some of the crowd might have thought as when they heard Jesus. And Jesus says, no. The Pharisee doesn't care for God, really. He's like the unjust judge. He cares only for himself. He's patting himself on the back with both hands, really. And he wants others to pat him on the back too. He's comparing himself to others, which is something God never invites us to do. The spirit of his praying is all wrong. He has no sense of his sin and no sense of who it is he prays to. He just waltz up to God and thinks he can pray to him as he does. But the Pharisee knows who he prays to, and that, again, the only thing he can ask for is God to be merciful to him. He trusts God, that God will be merciful and slow to anger and gracious to him, a sinner. And Jesus says he goes home justified. God, in God's eyes, the tax collector is right, in a right relationship with him. Well, what does this teach us about God, and how does this help us to pray? I think it reminds us that we must be humble before God. He humbles us because of his greatness and his glory and his might and his ability to forgive sin. Nobody else can do that. And so we're also reminded that God forgives. He forgives the penitent sinner, the one who realizes their sin before him, and who confesses and acknowledges that there's nothing they can do. It's not about fasting, not about what they do or what they don't do. They can but fall on God's mercy and plead to him. And so what will help a person to pray? Knowing that God forgives. Knowing that God's greatness humbles us. Knowing that God cares for his people. That God is just, God is good, and God desires relationship with you. And I guess the question really for us now is, why would we not want to pray to God if he is so good and loving and just? Here are two quotes from Christians throughout history. Abraham Lincoln said, I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Abraham Lincoln recognized his inability to do what he had been tasked to do. He had a lot of power and responsibility, but he felt totally incapable of doing it without God's help. Or how about this by C.S. Lewis? The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, and letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you invite us to talk to you and that we can even come into your presence. Lord, we ask that you might give us humble hearts. May we never be proud. May we never seek praise from others. Help us to see who you are and who we are when we come before you. And Lord, we praise you that you call us sons and daughters. Lord, help us to talk to you, we pray, by your Spirit, and remind us of the conversation we can have with you each day, every minute, and every hour. Lord, we rejoice at this gift, and may we go out today knowing the wonderful relationship we have with you. May this spur us on to love you and to serve you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's continue with some prayers. And if our response, I'll say, Lord, in your mercy, and if you could respond, hear our prayer. Let's pray.